Charlie Hebdo, a satirical magazine, has been attacked before.
We're actually beginning to establish a relationship with Cuba that I think can be helpful in a number of areas.
In all the countries of the world, they're looking at the Syrian people like they are terrorists or they're like bad people. All we want to do is just find a new place that we can learn the language and be a productive citizen and start to work.
In Nepal, it is not just the Kathmandu Valley that has been affected and impacted by the major earthquake.
Our daughter now has her parents married in every single state across this country is a big deal. It's an emotional day.
The problem with the Volkswagen diesel emission scandal is there's no way to fix it.
ISIS is showing off the bomb it says brought down that Russian passenger jet.
One of the amazing things about Pluto, it seems to have seasons.
We have reached an agreement on the Iranian nuclear issue.
The hospital was repeatedly hit, both the front and the rear, and extensively destroyed and damaged.
It had been 40 minutes since the concert began. I saw guys with Kalashnikovs aimed at us.
Nobody just gets upset at a party, goes home and puts together that kind of an elaborate plan to come back and do that. So there was some planning that went into this.
Each year on The Takeaway, we try to talk to people who might be reflecting on a great year and are full of hope about the next one. Marlon James had a great year in 2015, heck of a lot better than the 78 rejections for his first novel he got before he found a publisher back in 2005. Marlon landed the Man Booker Prize this year for his third novel, A Brief History of Seven Killings, about the violent politics of Jamaica back in the 1970s.
I set out to just write a novel about one singular event and how it affects a few people. That it blew up into this thing about where it becomes a novel about the Cold War and the CIA is as much a shock to me as to the person reading it.
Marlon James says he learned to go with the flow in his third novel, and he won the Booker. Not bad. His next project, he describes it as a quote-unquote African Game of Thrones from the 11th century. More from author Marlon James next on The Takeaway.
Revolution.
Revolution.
To make a solution.
The 1970s saw the rise of reggae and ska music, a soundtrack to the Cold War politics that turned Jamaica into a battle between socialism and reactionary military leaders. Almost exactly 39 years ago, as socialist Prime Minister Michael Manley was struggling to keep order, Bob Marley himself became the target of violence.
Entertainer and reggae star Bob Marley, Rita Marley, and the manager of the Wailers, Don Taylor, are now patients in the University Hospital after receiving gunshot wounds during a shooting incident tonight.
Political violence has become a very emotive issue in this election campaign. There have been charges and countercharges, but a far more serious political question is posed by those who insist that incidents like the shooting of Bob Marley is part of a plot to destabilize Jamaica and halt the progress of what they see as democratic socialism.
This history comes to life in one of this year's biggest novels, A Brief History of Seven Killings. It's a violent story that the author Marlon James grew up with, and which was enough to win James this year's Man Booker Prize. It's the first for a Jamaican writer in the 47-year history of the prize. James, in reflecting on a pretty darn good year for 2015, says that for him, the echoes of those bullets that nearly killed Bob Marley 39 years ago are still too fresh to be regarded for him as history.
This is not a historical novel. This is a present tense event, and it's still unfolding, and we're still reeling from it. And we still find it very painful to talk about, so most of us don't. And that was the main thing, that I was writing a novel that in Jamaica we tend to leave for bedroom discussions or discussions on the veranda, nothing that takes place on a public stage, even though we've all talked about these things.
In this book, there are just no good guys at all here. It really feels like it just everyone is compromised in such a bad way.
Which is politics, I think. Especially in the Jamaican situation, the closest we come to a good guy is the ghost at the beginning of the book, and he was murdered. It's funny. When he died, the characters who form a composite for that guy, a lot of people think the hope of Jamaica died with him. The hope of Jamaica died with these sort of really idealistic young men of the 50s. And what was left is a battlefield, first for the Cold War, but also for a really, really cynical blend of politics that realize that there's no difference between ballots and bullets. One creates the other. And that led to a really, really terrible time that we were reeling from all the way into the 90s. I think one of the reasons why our elections have stopped being violent is that there's just nobody left to fire the guns.
Do you feel that what happened in Jamaica and Cuba, in a certain sense, I mean, you evoke this kind of island culture and its connection to the United States and the crack epidemic that took place in that period of time? I think most Americans have no idea about that history, what really happened. And coming from your perspective, it just feels like a much scarier time than it was in Chicago and New York.
It was. The fact is, to stop the spread of communism, U.S. foreign policy made some really terrible bedfellows. All they had to have in common is that they're against communism. What they were for was a totally different story. And bear in mind, this is a claim of a lot of these guys who went on to become drug lords, is that they learned to fire guns from the CIA or from the School of the Americas, that as long as you're on board to fight the scourge of communism, what you did in your own free time was your business. And that was a discovery for me, because I set out to just write a novel about one singular event and how it affects a few people. That it blew up into this thing about where it becomes a novel about the Cold War and the CIA is as much a shock to me as to the person reading it.
And at the center of this is, of course, Bob Marley and the attempt on his life. How did you first understand that event before this novel adorns it with all of this extraordinary history?
I understood it the way a six-year-old would understand it, that something really bad happened to somebody really famous. But the difference was, and I don't know if it's because my mother was a cop and my dad was a lawyer, and they're both involved in justice, law enforcement. I don't know if that's why, but I think a kid can tell when their parents are scared. What I remember about Marley getting shot was not necessarily the event, but how it was the first time I think my parents were scared, which is saying something for a year like 1976. The idea that if Marley could be shot, anybody could be shot.
You describe violence in a way, well, that doesn't have a lot of analogs, at least in my experience reading. There's a scene in here, your ghost is talking about a character being dragged for a very long period of time. They've been pulling you for miles, and you twist and turn, but the last time you twisted, you rolled onto your belly, and the rocks felt worse, slicing lines down your belly, a jagged red one, cracking your right kneecap. They've been dragging you over secret roads, forgotten lanes, weed-ambushed paths, and hidden rivers. You're not heavy at all. Nobody under 20 is heavy. I try to bow my head in reverence as we march, but my head falls whenever I nod and my neck snaps. You've been screaming for miles, but the scream dies in a gag, but I will be there to listen. Did you have a sense that you were going to die if you didn't watch your step and no one would know?
For me, no, not really. For these guys, certainly. I was just really interested in how these men who tried to kill him sort of vanished. A lot of the cruelty that happens in Jamaica, that happens not just to these guys, but to people every day, is off screen. I'm a big believer that violence should be violent. I'm a big believer that you actually should lose a little of yourself at the end of a scene like that. As long as it doesn't turn into a pornography, as long as you don't become numb to it, then I think we should be as visceral and as there as we can be. But it is disturbing. It's disturbing to just hear you read it back to me. I'm like, what trance was I in when I wrote that?
Does this image of Jamaica reconcile with the kind of island, vacation land, happy talk Jamaica that we see so often in pop culture?
I think the danger is thinking Jamaica is one or the other. The danger also of thinking that 1976 Jamaica or 1979, when that scene happens, is 2015 Jamaica. And it's not. It's unrecognizable. I think it's important to take stock of both. I think there are a lot of Jamaicans who toe the line that everybody should be a tourism advertisement for Jamaica. And they actually can't stand my work because they think I'm degrading the country. But then there are others who believe that we've had this culture of silence. I think not coming to terms with the things that happened in our past, you know, has led to this sort of culture where we don't talk about anything at all.
How are you going to top this year? What's your goal for 2016?
2016, other than working at the TV show, I'm working on my next book where I'm bidding goodbye to the 20th century for a little bit. I'm writing a book set in the 11th.
Oh, nice. A little bit about the, well, it's a pre-slave trade, right? 11th century?
Well, not necessarily pre. The slave trade was still pretty widespread and pretty terrible. It was just was an Eastern slave trade. But it was just as bad, and there were just as many millions who were being sold. So I'm definitely going to look at that and some other aspects. But yeah, I'm going to the 11th century.
Marlon James, Man Booker Prize winning author of A Brief History of Seven Killings.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.